And entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products by the knowledge given in this chapter, one can understand that the body and the knowers of the body, both the individual soul and the supersoul, the body is a field of activity and is composed of material nature. The individual soul, who is embodied and enjoying the activities of the body, is called the Purusha, or the living entity. He is one knower, and the other is the Supersoul. It should be understood that both the Supersoul and the living entity are different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity is in the category of his energy, and the Supersoul is in the category of his personal expansion. Both material nature and the living entity are eternal. That is to say that they existed before creation. The material manifestation is from the energy of the Supreme Lord, and so also are the living entities. But the living entities are of the superior nature, or the superior energy. Both the living entities and material nature existed before this cosmos was manifested. Material nature was absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. And when it was required, it was manifested by the agency of Mahatattva. Similarly, the living entities are also in Mahavishnu. And because they are conditioned, averse to serving the Supreme Lord, they don't want to serve the Supreme Lord. Thus, they are not allowed to enter into the spiritual side. But with the coming forth of material nature, these living entities are again given a chance to act in the material world and prepare themselves to hold. That is the mystery of this material creation. Actually, the living entity is originally the spiritual part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but due to his rebellious nature, he is conditioned within material nature. It really does not matter how these living entities or the superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows, however, how and why this actually took place. In the scriptures, the Lord says that those who are attracted by this are going a hard struggle for existence. We should know it with certainty from the descriptions of these few verses that all transformations and influences of material nature by the three modes are also productions of material nature. All transformations in variety in respect to living entities are due to the body. As far as spirit is concerned, living entities are all the same. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Te Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devam Gurvani Pacharane Nirvise Sushumivadi Pastyata Dishtarine. So here material nature is discussed, Prakriti. Prakriti is what is enjoyable by the living entities. Just like in our present condition, we men accept the female as enjoyable and we think we're the enjoyer. And by nature, the females, they like to dress up attractively and attract the opposite sex. The enjoyer. So that's Prakriti and Purusha, the enjoyed and the enjoyer. But none of us is actually a Purusha. We take the conception of Purusha. We think, I'll be the enjoyer. So the woman thinks that way, the man thinks that way. And it's not only men and women, but every living entity. Are thinking like that. The dogs, the birds, the fish, their tiny brain, they have this idea that I'll enjoy. And it goes all throughout the universe like that. Lord Brahma has a conception that I'll build this universe, I'll serve the Supreme Lord, I'll build the universe, and somehow I'll enjoy in the material world. The demigods have a sense of enjoying this world. They're given exceptional powers to enjoy, very long lives and so on. And it goes all the way down to the germs and the ants and the microbes, the small living entities. Everyone's seeking some enjoyment here. So that enjoins spirit that goes with the Purusha, with the living entity who is seeking enjoyment. But actually that Purusha is Krishna, which is taking the conception of Krishna in the material world. We're actually a different category of energy. Where the para, where the superior prakriti, there's the inferior and the superior prakriti. The inferior prakriti is earth, water, fire, air, and the subtle energies, mind, intelligence, and ego. But the para prakriti, the jiva, the spirit soul, we're trying to take this conception of Purush, I'm the enjoyer, and this is what is known as maya, or illusion. It's sort of like if a man dresses up like a woman, he cross-dresses. And so similarly, all the living entities, we're all dressed in material nature, in inferior material nature. We have the material body and the gross body and the subtle body. And we're all trying to enjoy in a certain bodily concept of life. And because of that, we've forgotten that we're part and parcel. And really, in that condition, it's natural for us to serve Krishna. Just like in the natural, the hand is the servant of the whole body by providing food to the stomach. So similarly, we're part and parcel of Krishna. So it's very natural to serve Krishna, to help him enjoy. That's a natural condition to help Krishna enjoy favorably Krishna's service. And in Vrindavan, we see that this is how the devotees act. In Vrindavan, they're all trying to make Krishna happy. But we don't have that attitude, so we're trying to train our mind to adopt this. We're more influenced by Maya, that I'm the enjoyer, I'm Krishna, I'm God. At least, maybe we used to think like that. But according to the Vaishnava Acharyas, we're not really enjoying in this material world, we're actually suffering. Because with this enjoying spirit, what happens is that we become entangled in material bodies. We have to have a bodily conception to enjoy. So we identify with the body to enjoy. So this is entanglement and suffering. Birth and death and disease and old age, it goes on and on. So I'm becoming entangled, I'm not becoming free. So if we have this conception that I'm the enjoyer, that's actually material life. Krishna says here, Prakritim Purusham. All the living entities, Purushas. And material nature, he says, these two are eternal. They're not temporary, they're eternal. Both are eternal. The living entities are eternal, the material nature, God also is eternal. It's not created, it's in the material world, becomes manifest. And sometimes it's not manifest. Nature, it's also true of the body. We have this body now, and it will be destroyed. But the consciousness is eternal. The living entity himself is eternal. Consciousness. So we're learning, at least we're learning in Krishna consciousness. Continue, we're more or less convinced that our consciousness will continue at the time of death. And we get a different body at that time. So just think what that means. We had a different body before, we're going to get a different body again. And this body that we're identifying with, it's just one body among many that we have had, or more that we'll get. And we'll forget this body. When we die, we'll forget about this existence. So why should we invest so much in this body when we're going to forget about it? Sometimes we become interested in astrology because we know this life, so we think, well, let me find out this life, maybe astrology can tell me. But even if they can say something, what can you do with that knowledge? Consciousness that you had in the previous life in a particular body, that's changed now. And according to that consciousness, you've accepted another body. So unless this consciousness of trying to enjoy in the material world, then this bodily condition continues. It's sort of like what goes on in this lifetime. In this lifetime, we're struggling to improve our material condition. Everybody's using to figure out how the material condition can be improved, how it can be more made more favorable for enjoyment. Isn't it true? Everyone is working. I'll get some money and I'll improve my material condition. But you would never really become happy that way. Therefore, Krishna says, give up that business of trying to improve your material condition. You've really forgotten that your position is to Krishna, to serve me. And if we do that, then Krishna will protect us from our previous mentality and our previous activities in the mentality that I'm the enjoyer. We don't have to suffer the results of that mentality anymore. We don't have to continue a repetition of birth and death. So we have to learn this, that Krishna is the enjoyer and that we're not. When we forget Krishna is the real enjoyer and we want to enjoy, then that's called Maya. That's all. The Vaishnavas say that. So when we give up the enjoying mentality, then we change our mentality. Krishna is the enjoyer. Then we become eligible for devotional service to Krishna. Instead of serving Krishna, serving the material modes of nature, then we will serve Krishna. Right now we're serving the material modes of nature, and we become proud of our accomplishments. Someone who is becoming a learned person or a scientist or a poet, he's thinking, I'm a very learned person, and he becomes proud of his position in the mode of goodness, passion, very active, working hard, greedy. And he's very proud. I'm a successful materialist. I can really succeed at the rat race. I'm a better competitor. I can compete better with people than anybody else. So he's proud of that. They're also proud. They're thinking, well, I don't have to do any duty. Everybody else is working hard, but I can just enjoy. I'll get intoxicated. So we have to give up this service to the modes of nature and these feelings of pride that go with enjoying the material nature and try to go back to Godhead. Otherwise, our life is almost like the life of the animals. They're eating and sleeping and mating and defending. They're jumping around. So if that's what we're doing, if we're actual intercourse and defending our position in so many national conceptions of life, people have to think of their defense. There's so many millions of dollars spent on defense. So they say, what's the benefit if we just imitate the animal? What we should actually do is try to realize ourselves and stop the miserable condition of life. Just like when we're diseased, we go to a physician. So our main disease in human life is having to take birth and death. Nobody knows how to cure this problem of death. Ask someone, what can you do to stop death? And nobody has the answer. But they're all very proud that civilization is very advanced. We're in very good condition. We're advancing in material life. We're making progress. Life is getting better. There are many more things for sense gratification than ever before. So that you can't even stop birth and death in this material world. And the way to stop it is simply to understand Krishna. If you understand Krishna, then when you give up this material body, you don't have to accept another material body. You return to the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there's no such thing as any disharmony with Krishna. Everybody wants to serve Krishna. Everybody wants to be under Krishna's order or Krishna's direction. We read about Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. So they had to have a relationship as parents with Krishna, and someone else is serving Krishna as a friend. So there are varieties because everyone is individual and wants to enjoy. So variety is how people enjoy. You can't make everything the same. So there are varieties in the spiritual world. And they're reflected in this. And we have the same rasas in this material world, but those are just reflections of the rasas with Krishna. Family life, conjugal life, somebody's the wife, somebody's the... But it's not satisfying because we're trying to enjoy. It's just a reflection of real life. You know, if you go out during the day and you go past a portion of the street, in the street, and put yourself in the real situation, you can't enjoy the reflection in the window. But this world is like that. The world is a reflection of the spiritual world, and we're trying to enjoy that reflection. And that makes us actually thieves, because this property belongs to Krishna. So if we don't acknowledge Krishna, if we forget Krishna and try to enjoy this world, we're enjoying stolen property, actually. We're trying to become the enjoyer. Actually, Krishna is the enjoyer. So there isn't any peace in this world. That's why there's no peace in this world. That's why people are fighting. They're fighting over stolen property. And nobody can make this situation peaceful. Struggling for existence like this. Don't struggle for the existence, material existence. You'll never be happy. The most you'll get is a little temporary enjoyment in this life. But that won't satisfy. Prabhupada says in the purport, this is the mystery of this material nature, that it's meant for giving us a chance to act in a way here, to prepare ourselves to enter into the spiritual world. That's the mystery of this material creation. Generally, philosophers or poets try to figure out, what is it all about? What is this human life that we have in common? What is it all about? What is this human life for? And they generally can't figure it out. It's just too big of a mystery for them. They don't understand. But this is explained here. It's a chance for us to return back to Godhead. To become free. Okay, I'll stop. Any questions? Yes.
Explain how access for us to serve Krishna and the Shastra explained that because the part of the Lord that is in charge of the access. That's the in the process of the Lord that it's not just access to be disturbed because it's very much like the service of the Lord. So if you can explain why is that this effect enjoy so strong ourselves and not this event because this event is also very much possible.
Well, the serving propensity is manifest in these relationships we have in the material world. Just everybody is serving somebody else. The mother and the father, wife is serving her husband, the husband is serving his company or his community. But it's mixed up, you know, it's mixed up with this desire that I'll be the enjoyer. So you can't get away from that service mentality either. If you don't have a wife or a job or something, you may serve your senses or you may serve an animal. There's so many people that have dogs. Who didn't have a husband or children. Her hobby was raising dogs and training them and showing them in the kennel. A kennel means an apartment for dogs. So she kept dogs and served them. So who knows, you know, at the time of death what she was thinking of. You know, maybe she was thinking of dogs. Then what happens? In her next life, maybe she's very unfortunate, you know? How can I enjoy as a dog? Prabhupada said that dogs become puffed up in the West because, or at least some devotees said this, I'm not sure, because, you know, they get so much attention from the masters. They're not so much regarded as nice animals. So service is going on. There's a lot of service. We also exhibit that. Yes?
Yeah,
I think devotees have no trouble getting a grasp on the preliminary knowledge of Krishna consciousness. I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm a spirit soul, I'm not this body. These preliminary ideas are there in the minds of everyone. So in that sense, everyone is enjoying the knowledge that arises automatically upon the performance. But of course, the subject matter is elaborate. Just like a material subject matter, say in metaphysics, it can become quite elaborations of the science. They use mathematics to describe all their laws and so on. So in Shastra, the philosophy is all there, elaborately given in Sanskrit verses or Bengali verses. Since the time of Chaitanya, many Bengali scriptures are there. So one could say that there's a level of knowledge, the Shastric knowledge, that requires some application of and Prabhupada said that, of course, you have to study my book. He said, even if you just have a few minutes, sit and read a little bit. Chanaka Pandit also stressed, Chanaka Pandit wasn't even a devotee, but he knew the value of Shastric knowledge, and he said, it's so valuable you should learn a verse a day. If you don't have time, learn half a verse a day. I think of the Shastra every day. If you can't do that, learn one word a day, because it's so valuable, the Shastra. And Krishna too, in Bhagavad Gita, when he's talking about transcendental knowledge, he says, you know, if you're situated on this boat, he compares it to a boat, then you can cross over the ocean of material existence. He says transcendental knowledge is highly esteemed. So to, you know, understand knowledge of Krishna, how Krishna appears in this world, why he appears, how the material world is manifested, these things are all described in a lot of technical detail. And the acharyas really go into it. And the commentaries are there for us to benefit from. So if we have that, I mean, there are different kinds of devotees, you know, as we were just saying, there's different kinds of devotees. So some are shastrically inclined and some aren't as much shastrically inclined. So it's not that everybody will have the same interest in the Shastra. But to answer your question about knowledge automatic, that's also true. Even if someone's studying the Shastra, you can say, well, the knowledge is automatic because he's studying the Shastra. He's like, you know, pumping the pump. You have to maybe apply yourself to get knowledge automatically arising. And the renunciation also, detachment. We expect both results. The tendency is so strong to enjoyable situation in this world that one easily accepts the idea that I will maybe get married. It takes a lot of time and energy. It's expensive. And instead of though to be detached from the idea of enjoying this temper, then and could devote her time or his time to going deeper into the Shastras, then maybe that would, you know, strengthen his his or her chances of going back to Godhead. Prabhupada said that married life means you can stop your progress like by 50% because it's so time consuming, and you build up a material situation, and so you invest your consciousness in that. And of course that can be spiritual life also. You can have your endeavor also. Not to say that it's not the right engagement for a devotee, it can be appropriate. But it may mean that your detachment from the material world will be postponed. You go through the material grihastha and you take your propensity to enjoy and you use it in Krishna service, and then after 25, 30, 40 years, then that propensity is set to go for more a more detached position. Although in the grihastha ashram also that can be a detached situation carried out in Krishna consciousness. That's also a detached, for sure that's a detached situation. But in any event, it's a gradual process. Detachment is a gradual process. You have to understand what you're doing. You need knowledge for that. And it's a little naive to think that I'll acquire all knowledge, because you can see it's all deep knowledge. You have to go into it and study it. You can't expect that without reading the Bhagavad Gita regularly, you're going to understand all the ideas in Bhagavad Gita automatically. Automatically should mean that it's available, and if I take advantage of it, I'll automatically get it, because I'm working in a way that Krishna expects. I'm not acting enviously. I'm acting like a devotee. So why Krishna will let this knowledge be manifest in my heart if I apply myself, try to get it. That at least is. I mean, you can also live as a non-shastric devotee, and you can hear classes. You know, even if you don't like to study, if you go to the morning class or the evening class, you'll acquire knowledge. You used to do it. Simply sit down and hear, and you have so many lectures to listen to on tape and CD. So read if you don't like to study. There's other avenue of hearing. And then there's other things too besides that. Then once you get this knowledge, then you have to think how to give it to others. And then how do you give it to people in the West? They don't know Krishna consciousness. They don't know the spiritual life of India. They don't know about deity worship. They have more or less forgotten about demigods. They think that religion is a product of rational consciousness. And God is rational. There's no other beings in the universe. There's so many misconceptions in the West. So you have to then think of how to get the message across in an intelligent way to people in the West. So there's lots to think about in terms of knowledge and detachment, being free of material desires. We can spend our whole life thinking about these things. And how to get these things, Gyana Vairagya. Chaitanya for coming. What's that verse? He praises Lord Chaitanya. You're the ocean of, because you're the oldest person. Purana is one of the words, Purana. You're the primeval oldest person, and you came to teach detachment and renunciation of all that's not connected with devotional service. Like that. He was a scholar, so. Srila Prabhupada tried to help us understand this by giving an analogy. He said that suppose you're a rich man and you have anything you want to eat you can have, but you have some servants and they're used to eating differently than you. They don't have as much money because you're rich, and they have like a third class rice, some short rice or broken rice. And you might think, well, I wonder how that tastes. So you might get some of that rice from the servants and taste it. See, what's that condition, you know? What kind of rice is like in that condition? Just to taste, just to enjoy variety. So, you're independent. The variety, you see the variety there. And because you're, in the case of the jivas desiring to go to the material world, the jiva is very tiny, and therefore he's described as the propensity to fall down, because he's situated as this. He can go either way. He's free to go either way. So he has the tendency is there. He can go that way. He's independent. He can go that way if he wants. But those who don't are nitya siddhas, they're eternally perfect. They remain. Some living entities remain. Most, I think Prabhupada said most, remember. Anyway, some eternal associates of Krishna never choose this. I was just reading a story about rice in this connection. Prabhupada said he employed a few servants, and he used to eat basmati rice, and the servants were eating this other rice, and he thought, let me arrange to give them some basmati rice. I should take care of them nicely. So at some point he was having the cook prepare basmati rice for the servants, and the servants, really a good master, you give us nice duties and you take care of us, but we would really like to eat the kind of rice that we like to eat and not this other rice. We don't like it so much. He told this to Govinda Dasi. He was trying to bring out the point. He said, this shows that people are really conditioned in very subtle ways to the situation that they're put in by material nature. It's difficult to change people's tastes. But you heard the purport, Prabhupada was saying in the purport that figuring out this point about the jiva coming to the material world, the living entity is originally the spiritual part and parts. The rebellious nature is conditioned. There is some rebellion there. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ichadvesha, he uses these words, Ichadvesha, desire and hatred. He said, when one is conditioned in this world, he comes into this world, desire to be God and hatred, thinking, why should Krishna enjoy? So there is rebelliousness in his choice also. Because of his rebellious nature, he's conditioned. Then Prabhupada says, it really does not matter how these living entities or the superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows, however, how and why this actually took place. Then he goes on and says that Krishna says that those attracted by the material nature undergo a hard struggle for existence. He's referring, for example, to 5th chapter, verse 7, which goes like this. The living entities in this conditioned world are parts. Because of conditioned life with the 6 senses, which include the mind, knows what's going on. Somehow it's, you know, a big subject. You know, how all, you know, can you imagine managing all the living entities? It's a big job. Big job. You know, it's beyond our conception how to account for everybody's karma and everybody's desires. But somehow, you know, the Lord has the capacity to do that. Just like the telephone company, huh? They know how much you owe for the telephone. They have a way to figure it out. So that's it out. So similarly, they're agents or of the Supreme Lord, and he's able to keep track of everybody's desires and how everybody feels about him. And if we're rebellious, then we can't go to the spiritual world. So we have this opportunity to change our rebellious nature. And then when we go back, then we don't return. Then we've learned our lesson. And then it's just like waking up from a dream. It's like, okay, we were asleep, we were in the material world, we were spiritually inactive, okay, now we're back again. Do you feel less serious about your present body and the time you have in this body? Do you feel more detached about that because of hearing this Bhagavad Gita class? At least it's, you know, Prabhupada really gives us things to think about. There's no doubt about it. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.